You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Sacramento Kings have won three of their last four games. They go 2-1 on this East Coast road trip, and they have enjoyed a weekend off preparing for the Portland Trail Blazers, who are back in Sacramento tomorrow night. Kings are 3-6 on the season, not out of the hole just yet, but slowly climbing their way out after that dreadful 0-5 start, starting to look more like themselves. And we'll discuss all of the action from the Kings' win in Atlanta. 2 years in a row, the Kings have beaten the Hawks in Atlanta, which is a bigger deal than it may seem. I'll explain that and more on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage. All regular season, all off-season, year-round coverage for you, including in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts. Always full coverage centered around your Sacramento Kings. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And why is the Kings winning in Atlanta in two straight years a big deal? Because last year was the first time that the Sacramento Kings have won in Atlanta this decade. Now they've made it two straight years, back-to-back years, that they've beaten the Atlanta Hawks, which I don't think has happened since, not during, but before the heyday of the Sacramento Kings in the early 2000s when they were competing for an NBA championship. So that's crazy to think about. Atlanta has been a tough place for the Kings to play, but this current regime led by De'Aaron Fox has found success, although it was a little more difficult for the Kings to get this win compared to last year when De'Aaron Fox had a triple-double and the Kings blew the Hawks out of the water. It looked like we were kind of trending in that direction early as the Kings built up to a 21-point lead, but Trae Young is another animal, completely different from when the Kings faced him last year. He is playing out of his mind right now, and even though the Hawks were shorthanded, they did not quit, they did not give up. They took advantage of another bad Sacramento Kings third quarter, fought their way back into it, and forced the Kings to do what they're supposed to do, and that's step on the throats, step on the gas in the fourth quarter, and find a way to close out the game on the road and win as the better team. And they were able to do that. They win by a final score of 121-109. And now you hear that final score and you think, that game's not that close. What are you talking about? Well, it took a late barrage of three-pointers from the Kings' second unit in order for them to create that separation and get that win, and we'll discuss that here as we break this game down. But we'll start overall with the starters in the game that they played. Buddy Hield had another strong performance for the most part, 9-17 from the field, 3-8 from three-point range, finished with 22 points. De'Aaron Fox turned in 17 points, also had 4 rebounds and 9 assists, a near double-double for him. He had 5 assists within the first 6 minutes of the game. He was doing a fantastic job as a distributor, and the Kings came out of the gate hot, with energy, with effort, with enthusiasm, very different from the start that they got off to in the loss last Wednesday to the Toronto Raptors. The Kings outscored the Hawks 31-24 in the fourth quarter. The Kings bench, though, they're the stars of this story. Trevor Ariza finished with 14 points. Bogdan Bogdanović finished with 20 points. The two of them combined for 9 of 12 from the three-point line, which is very good to see. Bogey is starting to look much more comfortable shooting the basketball, getting back to the form that he was playing when he was playing for the Serbian national team this summer in the FIBA World Cup over there. He looked like an absolute superstar, and the Kings are hoping that that production could and would carry over to the NBA. Got off to a slow start. Now it looks like he's starting to pick it up, and his confidence is growing with each bucket that he is cashing in on. Before we dive too much or too specifically into the bench and their output towards the end of the game, though, I want to look at the Atlanta Hawks side of things, what they did well. I got to talk about Trae Young, man. Trae Young is so freaking good, and we know Trae Young's shooting ability is what got him into the NBA in the first place and what made him such a name in college, but his passing and his facilitating is top-notch. Very, very good. He had a couple of just eye-popping passes. That made myself, Jason Ross, and the High Flyer Henry Turner, who were back in the Kings studios watching the game, made us come up out of our seats. He is such a thoroughly entertaining guy to watch play, and he gave the Kings fits. He did not quit, and he led by example, bringing the Atlanta Hawks back into this game. Again, the Hawks outscored the Kings 36-28 in the third quarter, which allowed them to make some noise and try and make a game out of it and force the Kings vets to pull them out of the hole. They also got 25 points out of Jabari Parker, who had a quiet but efficient game, went 11 of 18 from the field. Remember, the Hawks were missing a handful of players. John Collins is out with that PED suspension. They were also missing Evan Turner. A handful of players were not playing in this game for the Atlanta Hawks, so they were relatively shorthanded. And the Kings looked like they were going to take more advantage of that early on, but didn't take nearly as much of an advantage of that as they possibly could have. But the fourth quarter is where this game really changed, because De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield were on the floor, and the Kings, unfortunately, could not get a stop. They also could not buy a basket. Trae Young was having his way, was absolutely demolishing De'Aaron Fox, if we're being honest. There was a stretch of about three or four straight possessions where De'Aaron Fox could not stay in front of Trae Young. So Trae Young was definitely getting the better of that matchup. And Luke Walton did something that it takes a lot of guts and ended up winning the game for the Kings. And that's take De'Aaron Fox and take Buddy Hield out of the game and bring his veteran bench lineup in and see if changing things up could have a positive effect, could stop the Hawks on this run, and maybe some shots would start falling. And that's exactly what happened. Bogdan Bogdanovic, Corey Joseph, and Trevor Ariza, along with Harrison Barnes and Rashawn Holmes, that was the lineup. Those five got the Kings back into the game and created the separation that you see in that final score. Bogey would not miss from three-point range. Trevor Ariza was cashing in from deep. Corey Joseph, I thought, was doing a fantastic job offensively running the offense. Also did a great job, or as good as you can do, as an on-ball defender against Trae Young, although he had struggled against Trae Young earlier on in the game. The Kings, overall, they needed a spark. They needed something to change, and the depth was finally showed off. We talked about how much more depth this Kings team has this year than they've had certainly in the past 10 years. The depth came in, the veterans showed up, and they did what they were supposed to do, and that's pick up the starters and pick up the young guys who were just struggling and not able to get their game going and not able to stop the Atlanta Hawks. The veterans came in, led by example, and they are the reason why the Kings won this game. After De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield were taken out, they didn't come back in for the remainder of the contest. It was Bogey, Ariza, Barnes, Joseph, and Holmes that ended up finishing out the game for the Kings. The Kings were red hot from three-point range, 51% from three, 18 of 31. From beyond the arc, great to see there. Also shot 55% from the field, 42 of 76. It's a breath of fresh air to see the shots falling for Sacramento. They did allow the Hawks, though, to shoot 52% from the field, only 32% from three-point range, and that's really the significant difference in this game. Once again, the Kings won the rebound battle, albeit only by two, 36-34. There weren't a bunch of rebounds in this game, and the ball movement was phenomenal for Sacramento. 27 assists for the Kings in this game. They did turn the ball over 14 times, got a little sloppy with it, especially in that third quarter, but 27 assists is a great thing to see from this Kings squad. We got to give Luke Walton credit here, not just for the fact that he made this move and made the gamble to take Fox and Hield out, the two best Kings players out, and put the veterans in. The fact that he's got this team out of a 0-5 hole, and they've won three of the last four. It's not an easy thing to take over a team with high expectations, and Luke Walton put a lot of weight on his own shoulders. The Kings and Vlade Divac certainly put a lot of weight on Luke Walton's shoulders, and the players themselves have put weight on Luke Walton as well as weight upon themselves to try and make a playoff run this year. There were a lot of expectations for this Kings team going into this year, and the 0-5 start made us take those expectations away and leave Kings fans frustrated and utterly disappointed. Now, we're not out of that realm of disappointment yet. The Kings are still 3-6 on the season and in a very difficult Western Conference with a tough stretch of games coming up. But to this point, to get this team to turn around, they're playing much better. Over these last four games, they have the best offensive rating, around 116, in the NBA right now. Their pace is still a problem, believe it or not. Even though they're winning basketball games, they're still towards the bottom of the league in pace. But offensively, they're much more effective. They're getting back to the brand of basketball that they are playing. And Luke Walton, in my opinion, is making the right smart moves. I've seen a lot of people criticizing Luke Walton, saying that he was not ready to be a head coach, that he clearly had struggles in Los Angeles with the Lakers, that maybe we didn't give him enough credit for or put enough of the blame on him, even though we know the Lakers organization did. I know people don't want to give him credit for the success he had as a coach with the Golden State Warriors, because, of course, they were already the Golden State Warriors. So I've seen more negative in Sacramento than positive when it comes to Luke Walton. And a lot of that also has to do with the stuff that he dealt with over the summertime, which we don't have to get into. But I think coaching specifically, what Luke Walton has been able to do over the last four games is exciting. It's encouraging. Clearly, the players are playing hard for him, and they support him and like him. We know that as much. We've known that since the beginning of the season. We've seen countless videos. Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee tweeted out a couple of videos yesterday of the Kings at practice, and Luke Walton is sitting down with Buddy Hield, and they're going over plays on the laptop for over 20 minutes, just working together. It's little things like that that make me think that Luke Walton can be and is the right coach for this Kings group. And the fact that he's been able to get this team to go win three of their last four, go 2-1 on this road trip after that 0-5 start is certainly positive, certainly encouraging, and he deserves credit for that. You cannot bash the guy for when things aren't good and then make excuses like, well, he got lucky, or Bogdan Bogdanovic was the one that carried him. You can't do that, and you can't not give him credit when there's positives if you're going to bash him for everything when there's negatives. So keep that in mind. Luke Walton is doing the right things. Now, he still has a ways to go. His rotations still need work. He still has to figure out what to do with Marvin Bagley when Marvin Bagley comes back from his injury, and he still has to get this Kings team back to competing for the playoffs, and that's going to take some work. So he's certainly not done and out of the woods just yet, but he's making the steps in the right direction, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. There was also a major storyline in this Kings game, and that was the return of Harry Giles. We'll talk about his return, plus the very harsh and cold reality that the Kings might really end up regretting not exercising his option. I'll explain that entire situation coming up here in just a second on Locked On Kings. Much to the joy of Sacramento Kings fans, Harry Giles made his triumphant return in a Kings jersey last night. Been dealing with those nagging knee injuries, but he is back, playing his first game for the Kings this season. His first game since he got hurt towards the end of last season. And before he had gotten hurt, it looked like he was finally hitting his stride. He was playing hard, and that he could find himself a significant rotational player for the Kings, and hopefully one day a Kings starter. Well, since that point, things have changed significantly with Harry Giles and his status with this Kings organization. We'll get to that in just a little bit, but let's talk about the game that he had. Now, he didn't play a significant amount, only 7.5 minutes, but he did come in and immediately made his presence felt. He finished with 4 points, also had a rebound and a block shot. It was good to see only one personal foul for him in those 7 minutes. Immediately comes into the game, immediately scores. He's running the floor. He's protecting the rim, creating fast break opportunities. Harry Giles came in with energy, with hustle, with excitement, and with passion, which is what you expect him to play with on a daily basis. He came in and reminded Kings fans why he was so exciting and why they loved to watch him so much last season. So here's the situation with Harry Giles, to make it as perfectly clear for everybody, because I got a lot of questions about it during the game and after the game over the weekend. So the Kings, with rookie contracts, every rookie contract has a final year team option. And what that is a team can either decide we want to exercise that final year, to which the salary is already predetermined, and it's just the final year of the contract, and the team says, yes, we want it. Or the team can say, no, we don't want it, which means that year is then erased. The contract becomes, in Harry Giles' situation, a three-year contract, and then he enters unrestricted free agency. So the Kings, what they did was this, or a few weeks ago, or a little under a month ago, the Kings declined Harry Giles' option. They also declined Caleb Swanigan's option, and they accepted the options of De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley. No surprise there. Kings fans were a little confused by this entire situation, and Vlade Divac essentially said, and the Kings essentially said, that they wanted to make Harry Giles earn that fourth year and earn that money, and they didn't want to just commit it to him. And a lot of this tied into the rumors that Harry Giles didn't show up to camp in the best of shape. So this all kind of tangled together into a messy web of rumors and expectations and head scratching and why, and it's not all the questions have been answered yet. However, the Kings, they picked a side. They made a tough decision. They went against a fan favorite, and they elected to almost gamble against themselves and gamble against Harry Giles and not give him that guaranteed fourth year. Now, why is that so significant? Because at the end of this year, because they didn't exercise that option, at the end of this year, Harry Giles becomes a unrestricted free agent, which means he can choose where he wants to go. Teams can freely bid on him, and he can choose what contract he accepts and where he is playing next year. Now, the issue is that all 29 other teams besides the Sacramento Kings can freely bid for Harry Giles. The Kings cannot. The final year of the contract was worth about $4 million, or around $4 million. So the Kings, via CBA, collective bargaining agreement, the NBA CBA regulations, the Kings are not able to offer Harry Giles this summer more than a $4 million contract. So automatically, the Kings are now at a disadvantage if they want to try and negotiate for Harry Giles and bring him back if they get into a bidding war with other teams. It would essentially become a take less money to stay with the Sacramento Kings, who, by the way, wouldn't commit to you, or take more money and go and play where you choose elsewhere. And there's 29 other teams that potentially could offer good money for Harry Giles and outbid the Kings by a long shot. So it's a very interesting situation. And this is why we're saying that the Kings are essentially gambling against Harry Giles. They are gambling that Giles is not going to have the type of season that will make a team want to pay more than $4 million for him this summer. So maybe they're hoping, and they've said they haven't given up on Harry Giles' development. There's two situations here. Either they are hoping that Harry Giles is going to not have that great of a year or have a so-so year, and they can get him for cheaper than $4 million, or they're done with the Harry Giles project altogether. They'll be happy to keep him on their team, and if he can help them win, then they'll play him and give him opportunity, and they'll let him walk this summer. Either way, if you're asking me and my gut feeling on this entire situation, I think the Kings are going to end up regretting this decision. I know Rashawn Holmes is playing fantastic. I know Nemanja Bjelica is playing fantastic. Marvin Bagley is going to be returning soon. Dwayne Dedmon is ahead of him as well, and you're paying all four of them significantly more than you're paying Harry Giles. The situation is that Harry Giles is number five. He's at the bottom of the big man rotation right now, and the Kings clearly don't feel the need to guarantee or commit money to that if they don't think that he is going to be either a part of their team long term or someone who is going to help them win and get to the playoffs right now, which is it's what the goals become. Maybe Harry Giles to them is continuing to be a developmental project that they just don't want to take on now that the rest of their young core is moving past the developmental phase and moving into the competing for the playoffs phase. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think Harry Giles can be effective. I don't necessarily see him as an NBA starter, but I see him as a rotation player that can help this team win games, and he might show that through the rest of this season. I'm certainly rooting for him to show that through the rest of this season, but we're looking at the very real possibility that Harry Giles can continue to play this year, continue to have a good year, and walk at the end of the year, and the Kings lose him. Just lose him because they didn't want to pay him $4 million, which in reality is nothing compared to the salary cap. And also, for those who are asking or wondering, so why can't the Kings hope that Harry Giles plays well and then just trade him before the trade deadline this year? It's a great question. However, again, via CBA regulations, if the Kings were to trade Harry Giles, let's say the Kings traded Harry Giles to the Clippers. The Clippers wanted Harry Giles this year. The Clippers then assume Harry Giles' contract, and that includes the fourth year that the Kings did not accept, which means then the Clippers this summer would only be able to offer Harry Giles a up to $4 million contract. Does that make sense? So they would take what the Kings are facing right now. If they were to trade Harry Giles, that contract with those stipulations and regulations go with him. So actually, the Kings might do everything in their power to try and trade Harry Giles because they would then freely be able to bid on him this summer without $4 million cap. However, teams that want Harry Giles aren't really going to be interested in trading anything of value for Harry Giles because the likelihood of them being able to re-sign him this summer is pretty low. If they really want him, all they would have to do is just wait, let this season play out, offer him more than $4 million this summer, and then hope that he chooses them. That's a significantly better and smarter route than trading for him, giving up an asset, and pigeonholing yourself into his current contract situation that he's in with the Sacramento Kings. Honestly, I'd say it's about a 95% chance that Harry Giles is no longer a King after this season. I know that's disappointing and sad for a lot of Kings fans to hear. Again, I don't necessarily understand the Kings' thought process in their situation either. I think this might be something that they deeply regret when it's all said and done. But clearly, this Kings front office feels like Harry Giles is not as much of a part of their core as we thought he was going to be heading into this season. And all we can do is hope that Harry Giles can help the Kings win right now. He's still a favorite in that locker room. We know, of course, he's still a fan favorite. And we do know that there are still people in this organization that care about him and want him to succeed. So how I've decided to approach the situation is root for Harry Giles to succeed and almost root against the Kings in the sense that I want Harry Giles, the player, Harry Giles, the person, to be successful and overcome the obstacles that have been placed in front of him with his injury issues and the ups and downs that he's gone through to get him to this point in his career. I want him to be able to overcome that and have success in the future, even if that means not with the Sacramento Kings. So I want Harry Giles to ball out this year. I want him to prove that he is worth more than $4 million. I want a team to come in and offer him between $5 and $10 million. I want him to take that money, go and play for that team, have success there, and make the Kings deeply regret that decision. I'm curious your thoughts on this situation. Reach me on Twitter, at MattGeorgeKHDK. Feel free to DM me there. DMs are always open. You can also email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. I know Harry Giles is a topic of passion for a lot of Kings fans who love those underdog stories and love those comebacks. Backstories and Harry Giles has done or shown nothing but love to this team and to this city. So Kings fans are going to be probably feeling the same way that I am and rooting for him to be successful, even if it takes him away from Sacramento. So let me know how you feel right now again on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK or email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. So the Kings are back in action tomorrow night inside the Golden 1 Center, taking on the Portland Trail Blazers, who they lost to on the home opener, second game of the season in Sacramento. The Trail Blazers have not been performing as well as we expected them to perform either. So it'll be the battle of two underperforming teams who are trying to work their way back into it. I would expect, or actually I know, that the Portland Trail Blazers are going to be favored in that game, but a good opportunity for the Kings to get some revenge on Portland like they did against the Utah Jazz, beating the Jazz inside the Golden 1 Center a couple of weeks ago. So that should be a fun matchup tomorrow night, which of course we will break down for you on the Locked On Kings podcast tomorrow. I'm trying to get some interviews set up or an interview set up for you, so it's not just a talking head preview episode, so be sure to tune back in and return tomorrow for that. That starts a pretty tough trip or stretch of games for the Kings, including after Portland. They have a matchup with the Los Angeles Lakers, who are at the top or near the top of the Western Conference. Also a matchup with the Boston Celtics, who are at the top of the Eastern Conference. Things are not getting any easier for the Sacramento Kings, and it's a good thing they were able to handle business in Atlanta, and hopefully they will be able to handle business tomorrow night against the Portland Trail Blazers. I will be at that game, and I hope to see you there. Be sure to reach out to me and let me know if you are coming, and be happy to meet with you and set up a time for us to chat and enjoy each other's company before the game actually starts. If you have an opportunity to rate and review this podcast, please do. That helps us out a lot. Best place to do that is either on Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts. That gets the most traffic for us, and certainly it helps us out a lot. It doesn't have to be a completely positive review. Be honest, and if you have criticisms, please make sure that they are constructive. We use those to grow as a podcast network. I use them to grow as a podcast host, and we want Locked On Kings to be the best show that it can be. Also, if you have Kings fans in your life that aren't listening to any Kings podcasts or aren't familiar with Locked On Kings, do me a favor, get them plugged in, and hopefully they will find out for themselves why Locked On Kings is a must-listen for Sacramento Kings fans. I will be back tomorrow. Look forward to chatting with you then. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.